us here today. We want you to feel welcome to the Clarksville Church of Christ, those of you who are visiting with us here today. And we've got a good number of little visitors who are sprinkled around, and we're glad of that. We've got at least five different streams feeding on our YouTube, watching us live stream here at this moment. Wish to acknowledge you as well, welcome you to be a part of our assembly here this morning. We've come to the part of our worship where we're going to continue to bring honor and glory unto God by preaching and teaching His Word. Peter one time said in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, that if any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God. And then he concludes that verse by saying that God in all things may be glorified. And so we're going to glorify God. And just so we know that the things we're talking about are from the Word of God, I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from it for everything I got to say. I'll utilize a PowerPoint here to my left so that you might be able to write these things down, follow along, not only in this lesson, but hopefully that you'll study it on your own. When I'm a man, I can make mistakes. Take a look at these things and make sure that the things that I'm saying for our soul, I believe that you find that they will be that very thing, because we're interested in what this book has to say. Jesus one time said, "He that rejects me and receives not my words, have that which judgeth him, for the words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day," John 12 and verse 48. This year, the elders have set as a theme for the year for us to consider is a church with 2020 vision. Come, let us see things clearly together. It's been the idea. We wanted to, with laser-like focus, understand what God has to say on some different subjects. And this month, we've been talking about hope. And along with the idea of hope today, I want to talk about this idea of joy, all of which is wrapped up in Jesus Christ our Lord, which is the foundation of our hope. My Bible, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, if you'll open up your Bibles there, I'm going to read a verse there here in a few moments from that, Ephesians 1 and in verse 3. You know, the devil wants to tell you that he can give you just about everything in the world if you just give Christ up. You ever heard that? Maybe not in your ear, but you certainly have seen that influence in the world today. I've got power, I've got fame, I've got money just to give away in droves. I've got diamonds, I've got furs, I've got homes all around. I've got a BMW, Lexus, Mercedes-Benz, and I don't even have to drive them. Someone else will drive me around town. I've got women that will give me attention and butter me up even as like a turkey on Thanksgiving. I mean, I've got it all. And I will give it unto you. And all you got to do is listen to them and see them say these very things in their innuendo and the things that they promote. And the devil is behind all that. That sounds very attractive. You know, he made that kind of offer one time to the Lord back in Matthew 4, 4 through 10. Remember that? He took him up on his seat in a high mountain, looked at all the kings of the world and said, "Listen, I've got the power over all of this, and you can have all of it if you'll just fall down and worship me." And the devil's making you that very same offer this morning. But we had in our reading a few moments ago, Paul said in Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." We have been blessed beyond our imaginations through Jesus Christ. There are things that Christ offers you this morning that you need to grab a hold of as you compare the offers from God and the offers from the devil and the man of the world. Paul in Philippians 3, beginning in verse 8, at the end of that verse, he says, "For whom I have suffered," speaking of Jesus, "for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them as rubbish, that I might win Christ and be found in Him." Paul said, look at all the worldly things that I have possessed in my life. I mean, my power, my title, the money that accrued, the influence that I had, the praise of men. I've lost all that because of Jesus Christ. But when I look at it, that's just trash. That was trash as compared to what I have in Jesus Christ. He goes on in verse 10 to say that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Paul said, I want what Christ has to offer. You keep your diamonds, you keep your furs, I'm taking Christ. And so this morning, what I'd like to do for just a few short moments here today is I want to talk to us about what God is offering you here today through Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to see here is that God is offering us joy. On the very announcement of the birth of the Savior, Luke 2 and verse 10, listen to what the angel said. And the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people." By the way, hear yourself in that, because you are all people. And he said, "I've got good tidings of great joy. A Savior is born." Jesus came in John 15 and 11 said, "These things I've spoken to you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full." I want your joy complete. And the reason I've come, and the reason I've told you the things that I've told you, is so that you might have joy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, "Ye rejoice with unspeakable joy, full of glory." And what I want you to understand is that this joy is not a function of your outward circumstances. Someone says, "Well, how in the world can I have joy with all these things that are going on in my life?" Well, I want you to appreciate that this joy that God has blessed us with through Jesus Christ is rooted in a firm knowledge of my relationship with my God and what He intends to do for me. Habakkuk of old, was about to lose it all, by the way, said this. He said, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive oil fail, and the fields yield no meat, if the flocks shall be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of salvation." This man was going to lose it all, including his nation and his freedom. And he says, "I don't care what my outward circumstances, I've got a greater blessing. I've got a greater offer than what the whole world can offer me. And that is, I have a joy in the fact that I have a relationship with the Creator of the world." And that's all well and good, the preacher says. And they say to the preacher, "Listen, you know, that's great, Brian. You don't understand the bad things that happened to me. You don't understand the things I'm going through. I've lost my job. I've lost my friends. I've even lost my family. I mean, I've had a bad day." I want to talk to you about a guy who had a bad day. In the book of Acts in chapter 16, beginning in verse 19, I want you to understand that Paul and his traveling companions are in Philippi. And they're preaching and teaching the Word of God. And we have a situation where now, unfortunately, some woman is following him around, and her people have used her to gain money by what they call soothsaying. And it says that Paul, in verse 17 and 18, he cast that demon out of her. In verse 19, it says, "And when her master saw that the hope of gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them in a market to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, being Romans.' And the multitude rose up together with them, and the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them," that is, to beat Paul and Silas. "And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. And having received such a charge, he thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast with stocks. These men were grabbed out of the public square and humiliatedly beaten. When it says lay many stripes upon him, they literally whipped these men and they gave them to the jailer. And he said, 'Listen, don't you let these men go.' And hearing that, he roughly threw them to the inner prison, put stocks on their feet so they could not move." That's a bad day. Now that's a bad day. I want you to notice verse 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God." These men were singing. You ever had a bad day and the first thing you thought of was to sing? That's what Paul and Silas did. Why is that? Because they have a better offer, you see. The world gives you and says, "Listen, if your circumstances are not great, then you can't have my joy." But God says, "Listen, I don't care what your outward circumstances are. You can still have joy being rooted in that, knowing that I am there and that you ultimately win." That's a That's the reason why Paul, while he's in prison in Philippians 3 and verse 1, would say, rejoice in the Lord. And again in chapter 4, verse 44, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You see, you can take my job, and you can take my friends, and you can even take my freedom away, but what I want you to understand here this morning is you cannot take my joy, because my joy is rooted in an everlasting foundation. It is rooted in a relationship that cannot be moved. It is a relationship I have with my God, with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and nobody, never can take that away. In Jesus Christ, I have joy. But also, I want you to see this. I have peace. What is the secret of peace? I mean, we have peace marches, we have peace conferences, we have Peace Corps, we sign peace treaties, we spend billions of dollars on the military to keep the peace, but there is no peace. We write books on peace of mind and they fly off shelves like hotcakes. Why? Because we're looking in a book what is not in our lives. I need to get rid of the anxiety. I want to get rid of the stress. We live in a world of turmoil where the latest political agenda is the terrorist crisis, the banking crisis, the financial crisis. I mean, we have crisis in the home. We have crisis in the inner city. We have illegal alien crisis. We have AIDS crisis. We have the COVID-19 crisis. We got debt crisis. We got gas crisis. We got healthcare crisis. I mean, everything is a crisis. No wonder you're so anxious. No wonder we're full of anxiety. That's what this world offers. This is what Satan and the man of world has reaped as they have divorced themselves from God. Listen, my friends, peace is found in Jesus Christ no matter what your circumstances. In Luke 2:14, glory be God in the highest and peace on earth. Goodwill toward man. Jesus Christ brings peace. God through Jeremiah would say, I know my thoughts toward you, says God. Thoughts of peace. He is the God of peace. In John 14:27, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives you peace, my peace I give unto you. My peace is real. My peace can be no matter what the circumstances is in your life. In John 16 and verse 33, I've said these things unto you, that you might have peace. Now in this world you'll have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. There's nothing that you're going to face that Jesus Christ has not already overcome. And because of that, I can have peace. Paul said, don't be anxious for anything, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Listen, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How was it that brethren of old were able to face the lion's den or the crucifixion or being sawn in sunder or burned with fire with a quiet resolve to stand for their God? Why was it that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, listen, I don't know what God's going to do, but I can tell you what we're going to do. And face that with an inner peace. You see, the world can't give you that. And the things that the world can give you can't provide that for you. The only thing that provides that kind of peace is God. If you have your Bible still open to Acts chapter 16, turn it back a few pages to Acts chapter 12. I'll read you another story. It's launched several sermons for me over the years. Beginning verse 1, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex. Vex, I use that word every day. Doesn't sound good, does it? Vex certain of the church. Well, what's that vexing incur? What's that entail? Verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. That's vexing. He killed James. Remember James and John? James is now dead because King Herod had killed him. And because he saw that by killing James, it pleased the Jews, he further took Peter also. What do you think he had in mind for Peter? Verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him into prison. He put 16 soldiers around him, going to bring him out and pay Passover. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made for him without ceasing to the church of God. And when Herod would have brought him forth, that very same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers of the door of the kept prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and the light shined in prison, and smote Peter on the side, and said, "Get up quickly," and the chains of his hands fell off. I want to stop right there because my point has already been made. The Apostle Peter was about to receive the same condemnation that James did. James was killed with the sword. And the very night Herod was going to take him out and do the same thing to Peter. Rob, what was Peter doing? He was sleeping. Now you put that on for a second. I've been over to LaGrange Maximum Security. I have seen those boats on death row. And I got to tell you, the most hardened people, when they're facing death, they don't sleep so well. But here was a man. He was asleep. How well was he sleeping? He was sleeping so well, the angel said, "Get up!" He had to smite him on the side. "Get on up, Peter, and get on out of here." Let me tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how much money you got, I don't care how much power and how much fame, you cannot buy yourself that kind of peace. That peace only comes from God. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But also, in Jesus Christ, I have my hope. When I think about that idea of hope, that confident expectation that I have from Jesus Christ myself, my Lord, it is of utmost importance. I mean, you take my home away. You take my car. You take my freedom. But don't take away my hope. Because without hope, I'm lost. A man has got to have hope. Many times as folks have lived or died or went through very bad situations in prison camps and things of this nature, the only thing that kept them alive, the only thing that got them through was hope. They'll tell you that. The hope. And what I want you to understand is that the only way we're ever going to get through this life is through hope. It's so important. Paul one time said, "For you are saved by hope." Saved by it. Without it, you're lost. I read that it's an anchor to our soul. Hebrews 6:18-19. Paul said, "In hope of everlasting life, which God, who cannot lie, has promised us before the world began." That hope, that confident expectation that I have through God. Again, Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorite passages. "I know my thoughts toward you, says Jehovah, thoughts of peace, not of evil, but to give you hope." I want to give you hope. You can't get hope from the bottom of a barrel. You cannot get hope from the bottom of a bottle. You cannot get hope from sitting at a slot machine. You cannot get it through drugs. You cannot get it through pleasure. You cannot get it through fame. The only place that you will find hope is in Jesus Christ. Why praying, Paul, while you're in prison? Why singing? Because he had hope. All things work together for good for those that love God, Paul said in Romans 8:28. So I know no matter what my circumstances are, that once it's all mixed up and I endure, when I get to the other side, I win. Not I, but Christ. Christ wins. And we win with him. No, divorce is not funny. The loss of a job is very hurtful. Marriage that isn't what it ought to be is heart-wrenching. A child that is not what it ought to be crushes the parent's soul. Health issues are not a blessing. The death of a loved one is not something we want to celebrate. But in all of these things and more, I still have hope. I have hope in God. In Romans 8 and verse 31, Paul said, what shall I then say of all these things? All these things we just talked about. You name it. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. For I am persuaded, he says in verse 38, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present or things to come, neither height nor depth or any creature shall be able to separate you from the love of your God, which is in Christ Jesus. In Jesus Christ, we hope. You can take me away. You can erect walls with razor barb and put it around. You can keep me away from my family. You can cause me harm. You can separate me from this world. Whatever you wish to do. But you cannot separate me from the love of my God. And if the love of my God has already given me His Son, Jesus Christ, freely, as a sacrifice for my life, there's nothing He will not do for me. And in that, I have hope. And finally, I have salvation. I read salvation belongs to the Lord. Psalms 3 and verse 8. Paul say, I endure all things for the elect's sake, for the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. In Jesus Christ, I have salvation. Why do I have salvation in Christ? Because He wants to give me salvation. This is good and acceptable sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I can be saved because God wants me to be saved. And I can be saved because others have been saved. As I look at all those in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, all the things that they were homosexuals, they were adulterers, they were fornicators, they were thieves, they were drunkards, you name it, they were that. Paul said, but you were washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified through Jesus Christ. I can be saved because God wants me to be saved, and I can be saved because other filthy sinners have been saved. Be saved, ladies and gentlemen, because God has paid the price for me to be saved. God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and I. And I can be saved because God has prepared a place for me. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again so where I am, you may be also. I have salvation in Jesus Christ because He has prepared a place for me. And Him who loved us and washed our sins away in His own blood, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul finally says this, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time, let me just stop here for a second. Have you suffered? Do you think you've suffered? Some of us have. I'm not challenging that. I'm just asking you. Have you suffered in this life? Well, Paul said, listen, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. No matter what it is you went through, no matter how shipwrecked your life has become, that doesn't compare to the glory that God has prepared for you. You'll forget about it. Because God has prepared something better. So my friends, you keep your houses, you keep your titles, you keep your fancy cars. I'm taking the Lord. How about you? Joy. Joy unspeakable. Peace that passes understanding. Hope that's an anchor to the soul, and salvation that will present to me a glory that I can't even imagine. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these, Paul said, were love. And that love is demonstrated through Jesus Christ because of the wonderful spiritual blessings we have through His Son. And you've listened well this morning. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you this morning. Maybe there's one in our audience who has not been obedient to Jesus when He said, go into the world, preach this really good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. You can do that here this morning. Repenting of your sin, I'll help you make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.